Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 489, Science Faction, your weekly Corona update. The numbers stand as follows for today, Sunday, September 20th, 2020. Worldwide infected, 31.2 million. Worldwide dead, 964,000, edging in on a million. U.S. infected, 7 million. U.S. dead, 204,000. So we've crossed the 200,000 mark. Yay! Time to celebrate! We did it! Now, before we jump into the first articles, I think something that should be mentioned, I didn't want to actually stop and do it as an article, but we did just get an adjustment to our predicted overall deaths, and that dropped down, from last week by 30,000 deaths to a total of 378,000. That's the final prediction of the overall deaths in the United States from COVID. Now, these numbers, in my mind, are almost silly at this point, because the reality is the determining factor is going to be A, how well we can control the pandemic in local areas day to day, which varies widely from places that have essentially eliminated it and done a very good job of social distancing and masks and everything to, you know, that white trash wedding in Maine we talked about a few weeks ago, where you have a bunch of assholes getting together. And by the way, I think the death count of that is now up to like 5 people have died from that fucking white trash wedding. As if you didn't know something was bad by the fact that they were getting married at a place called the Big Moose Inn, you fucking white trash assholes. But I digress. Realistically, those things, the ebb and flow of how many people get infected or don't get infected, are going to be a big deal, because we've seen those numbers vary so dramatically. And also, when we finally get a vaccine, right? So like, if a vaccine came out in February, which, let's just jump out in front and say, the vast majority of Americans will not have had a vaccine by February, but let's say we did, if we had a vaccine by February, well, then our death count totals would be way lower, because essentially it gets cut off at that point. And so these numbers are super tenuous. They downgraded it because they got some better than expected news in terms of overall local transmission rates throughout the United States that seemed to indicate they were going down. That might actually mean that 30,000 less people die. Think about this. Think about how casually we're throwing out the numbers of 10 9/11s, right? Like, oh yeah, maybe 30,000, maybe not, who knows, who cares? We're already at 200,000. Yeah, we're edging in on 100 9/11s. Think how crazy this would be to be talking about at this time last year. It still blows my mind, even though I look at these numbers every week. I talk to you guys about these numbers every single week, and every time I look at them, I'm like, holy fuck, there's 200,000 more people dead this year in this country than would have otherwise been because of this disease. That's crazy, and it's kind of crazy that we've all just kind of gotten accustomed to it. And by the way, a lot fewer people would die, that 30,000 decrease that we just kind of calculated into the numbers, that would be way bigger. A lot fewer people overall would die if a universal mask mandate was put into place. In fact, the estimates said there would be about 263,000 people total. And by the way, if we would have started earlier, you're probably talking in the 4-digit range. Yeah, like a couple thousand people. That would still be proportionally way more than most other countries did. But again, this is a big U.S. issue. So if we were if we ended up all of a sudden tomorrow, Trump says mask mandate, everybody's got to wear one all the time, our numbers might peak at about 250,000. Instead, we're probably going to be in the 300 some odd thousand range. In fact, the original estimate as of last week was 415,000. It got downgraded to 378 this week. But if certain local mask mandates were to be eased, they actually predict the number to jump up to about 450,000. Think about these numbers. Think about what this means. If everybody just wore masks, essentially, we would just kind of teeter out and there'd be about 50,000 more people die and we'd be fine. If nobody wears masks, we're going to more than double the amount that are already dead. Think about that. Now, granted, we should have better leadership. We should have a leader who's telling us this, making mask mandates. We should have all of that. But in the end, we are also still responsible for ourselves. It is our choice what we do when we go out, since there isn't a mask mandate. So every time you walk out there and you're not wearing a mask, you're part of that problem. While we can put some shade towards the people who are directing this in the wrong way, including media and propaganda and the administration, in the end, It's still us. Man, you got to strap up that mask and take it seriously and keep taking it seriously. One of the biggest things I'm seeing right now is COVID fatigue, is people essentially saying, oh, I'm so done with this. This is lasting so long. It's not going to be done till halfway through next year. This is too long. And it's like, sorry, guys, these are the facts of the world and they're not going to conform to what you want or what you think is appropriate. And so, if, you know, we have to keep wearing masks for another year, then you have to keep wearing masks for another year. Like, the fact that it is inconvenient or difficult or it's going to take a really long time doesn't change the fact that it's necessary. All right, let's get on to the articles. The first article that I really, really liked, it's on this week's Nature. It's one of the few that aren't behind the paywall, so you can go ahead and go out and check that out yourself, is a very interesting discussion about, as the vaccine does get rolled out, who gets it first. Now, quick side tangent, a bunch of people have actually emailed me this since Trump's statement about how we're all going to have the vaccine pretty soon, we're going to be great. What's the realistic timeline? I'm going to say something that Trump should have said. We don't fucking know. And here's why. Not a single one of the vaccine candidates has finished phase three trials. Until they do, we have no idea. We talked the other week about how one of them just fell out of phase three trials because they had a complication. Now they have to go back and look at it. That happens. If that happens to all of our phase threes, then we might take a while. If it turns out that some of them have really negative effects for certain subgroups, it might take a while. So the question is, if everything went perfectly, will a non-trivial amount of Americans have the vaccine before the end of the year? And the answer is, theoretically, yes. Because of the fast-track process, because of the way we're pushing this through, because of the fact there are multiple candidates, and because of the fact that it's a fucking global pandemic emergency, one could see the closeout of phase three. Now, again, technically phase three usually lasts for like a year as they check the long-term side effects and stuff, but this type of expedited phase three, technically we could see the end of the expedited phase three for at least three of these vaccines in such a time frame that they could actually manufacture and produce the stuff and get it out by the end of the year. That is only because we have already set up a government buyout program where essentially the government says, listen, I know normally you would just make this stuff as you could sell it, but we need it desperately. So the second anybody gets it and we're approved, we're buying all of it. We got, you know, 300 million set to go. Let's do it. So with all that in place, theoretically, yes, theoretically, there could be, you know, a non-trivial couple million, maybe tens of millions. Theoretically, that could be done before the end of the year. Is it going to be? Nah. No, I predict that near the end of the first quarter of 2021, into the second quarter of 2021, so in that March area in the early spring, we're going to start seeing a large-scale rollout. Now, again, this could go either way. Unlike Trump, I'm going to tell you flat off the bat, this could jump a year in the future. Very easily. There could be all of the vaccine candidates could drop out of phase three. We could find some really negative consequences. There could be a lot of things. So keep this in mind. I am not telling you this is when it's coming out. I think that is a much more realistic timeline. Again, I think it will be getting into the hands of people in that first quarter and eventually get into the second. Now, the follow-up in the article we want to talk about today, the one in Nature, looks at ethically and rationally who should get the vaccines first. Think about it. In your head, who should get it first? Well, other than you, and I would say, like, listen, this is an expedited phase three. This is an expedited production process. Things are not double, triple, quadruple check the way they normally are. I don't know if I want to be first. Like, again, I've talked about this before. I am the biggest pro-vaccine guy you will ever meet. But that's because the way our vaccines go through their processes is incredibly strenuous, incredibly rigorous, and it becomes incredibly safe. And that process is not the process we're going through here. Does not mean it's an unsafe vaccine, but it means that the possibility of it being one is actually realistic as opposed to the possibility of, let's say, a seasonal flu vaccine being bad for you. So maybe you don't want to be the first people, but think about it, who should be? Now, Nature broke down in this article what the U.S. Academy of Sciences said, and it kind of goes along with the WHO. It's a little bit more specific than the WHO guidelines, and I think they're probably right, though there is some debate here. So first, in phase one, which they think is about 5% of the population, it's going to be healthcare workers and first responders. Totally makes sense. Obviously, those people are crucial. They have to interact with sick people. We desperately need them. We need as many doctors and nurses as we can get. We need them to be healthy. And so that makes sense. Then in phase two, which would account for 10% of people, they're going to get people with underlying conditions that put them at high risk of severe COVID-19 disease or death, which includes older adults, especially in densely populated settings. As we've said, especially here in America, COVID has been the grim reaper of nursing homes. It basically makes its way through and fucks those places up. And so, yes, if you can get everybody in nursing homes vaccinated, absolutely. In fact, my argument would be they might even take precedence over the healthcare workers just because of the statistical likelihood of death in each of those cases is much higher with the old people. And also, they don't have as much time. Like, you got to get to them quick. If it spreads through, they're going to be in a bad spot, you know. So, I don't know. That's up for debate. Phase three, which would be about 30 to 35% of the population, would be essential service workers at high risk of exposure, teachers and school staff, people in homeless shelters and prisons, older adults who have not already been treated, and those with underlying conditions that put them at moderate risk. Now, what's interesting is I actually think in this phase three, I've read some online comments that were pretty disgusting, like, homeless people, why are we wasting it on homeless people? And it's like, well, one, they're humans. And number two, they're in a prime place to spread it. And if one homeless person spreads that disease to, let's say you're an average of five people and your average homed person spreads it to two people, well, then even though it may not sound fair to you, that homeless person should get it because it's better for all of us. But here's my controversial opinion. I think I've stated this before. I actually think in this phase three, we should include anti-maskers. I don't care if you get Steve Irwin with a blow dart gun to pop out of a fern as the guy's walking by and tag him like, ah, you're vaccinated, bitch. Like, whatever it is, those people are going to be super spreaders because those people are not paying attention to what's going on around them. They don't care. They're not wearing masks. We've discussed articles before. There's a high degree of sociopathy, psychopathy, narcissistic personality disorder in these individuals. We are basically seeing these super spreading events. These people are walking around and I would say unintentionally, but it's not really unintentionally murdering people like that. They are walking around causing death around them, even though they will probably never see it because it'll be two or three people removed. And frankly, I kind of think those people, again, people would be like, hey, man, my family, we've been wearing masks the whole time. We should get it. And it's like, sorry, I know this sounds counterintuitive, but the fact that you're doing the right thing means that you're the person who probably needs it the least and should get it last. So anyway, just my opinion on that. The U.S. National Academy of Sciences did not put that in there. In phase four, which would be the bulk of the population, 40 to 45%, we would have young adults, children, and essential service workers at increased risk of exposure. And then phase five would basically, the last 5 to 15% would be everybody else. Now, the difference in timeline between phase one and phase five, it may very well be close to a year. It may well be that we can't roll all of that out, especially phase three and four, which are really big. We might not be able to roll those out very effectively and quickly. So who knows how long this could take? I like these suggestions. Again, I think they're up for some debate. And also, you're going to have to start dividing who is in what category. We've already talked about who is essential worker, but who is a healthcare worker, right? Is like the person who takes your urine cup at the doctor's a healthcare worker? What about the person who is working in the clerical office at your average hospital? Are they a healthcare? We're going to have to start dividing a lot of lines and doing a lot of things. And there will be controversy no matter how well that is done. There will absolutely be controversy because in the end, it's life and death. In the end, there will be people getting the vaccine in the very beginning that will then be safe while somebody else who did not get the vaccine dies. That is just a statistical fact. There will be people who die because they are further down on the list than other people. And anytime you are saying to people, hey, you're going to die because I've decided that you're not the first to get the thing that will save you, there's going to be a lot of controversy. All right, article number two, the CDC reverses totally dumb decision. All right, so I'm going to tell you this story. Partway through, you're going to go, why the fuck would they do that? And then I'm going to answer it, and you're going to get pissed. So, the CDC reversed a decision this week. It was a decision they only made last week. So last week on August 24th, the CDC updated its testing guidelines to say that being exposed to a person with COVID-19 didn't necessarily warrant a test for those who are low risk of not showing symptoms. Now, if you're sitting there going, wait, what the fuck did you just say? I didn't misspeak, you didn't mishear, and you are absolutely right to be incredulous. They literally said, hey, just because you're around somebody you know was sick, and especially if you're going to be asymptomatic, don't bother getting tested. First of all, the people who are asymptomatic need to be tested more than the people who are symptomatic. The symptomatic people know they're sick, they can go home and isolate themselves. The asymptomatic people are the ones who need more testing. That is crazy. Second of all, fuck, What do you mean if you've been exposed to somebody you shouldn't get tested? Of course you should. You should get tested randomly if you can, even if you're not knowingly exposed to somebody. But the idea that the CDC last week was telling this to people is fucking crazy. That was a reversal of their original advice, which was, yes, if you are ever in contact with somebody who has COVID, you should go get a test very quickly to figure out if you do. So just this week, they rightfully reversed that ridiculous advice and went back to the original advice that any close contacts of a person with SARS-CoV-2 should be tested. That's because people can transmit the virus before or without ever showing any symptoms. Super important with an asymptomatic disease. So, as you're sitting there going, what the fuck, are the CDC idiots? What happened? What's going on? Like, was there some kind of weird scientific evidence that came out? Nope. This came out in late August, like I said, the 24th, at a time that numerous federal agencies were directed to find ways to make the outbreak, quote unquote, look better than it was, and specifically by lowering the rate of testing so as to lower the reported numbers of infections before the election. I'm going to repeat that. The CDC was pressured to give advice that people should not get tested if they've been in contact with a COVID patient, advice that will get more people infected. It already has, undoubtedly, just statistically speaking, it has gotten more people infected and killed people. The CDC put this out as their official policy in order to make an outbreak not look so bad before an election. There are people who will be dead this time next month as we are speaking because somebody wanted 2-point bumps before November. Let that sink in. This is an American pandemic in 2020. All right, article number 3, the COVID long haulers. So there's a group of long haulers. We've discussed them briefly before, but these are people who essentially haven't gotten better. A lot of these people got sick during initial outbreaks in February, March, and they never got better. Now, a couple things about COVID long haulers. You might think they were the people who were in the ICU on the lung machine and stuff and then like barely made it out. In general, these people are not ones who had horrible sicknesses. They were not hospitalized usually, and that ends up being a problem a little bit later on. They have just had symptoms like fatigue, and a lot of them have neurological symptoms, brain fogginess, that are very scary because they sound very indicative of neural infection, and who knows how permanent that may be. A lot of them reported shortness of breath, tightness in the chest, fatigue, chills, body aches, and elevated temperature essentially the whole time. This can last for weeks. They also reported constipation, bowel obstructions, diarrhea, seizures, migraines, vision changes, sensitivity to light, all this kind of stuff. Now, could some of these people have psychosomatic responses? Could this be like a Morgellons disease type thing? Absolutely. We don't know yet. But it seems that some of these people may very well have some kind of long-term infection. That's pretty scary if you were one of those people who got sick and thinks, well, 2 weeks later, I'll be fine. Very interesting. It'll be very interesting to see what happens to these people and how we end up treating them, because right now we're not finding any treatment. They're not getting any better. Some of these people have been sick for 6 months. Really, really crazy to think about. And lastly this week, what are we going to do about the flu? Now, you might wonder what this has to do with corona. The reality is the Northern Hemisphere is about to head into flu season. I actually just went and got my flu shot. By the way, to anyone out there, I guarantee you I'm a bigger bitch with needles than you are, and I went and got it. Like, I start shaking and get clammy and sweating and stuff. I went and got it. So no excuses. Go get your fucking flu shot. I'm gonna tell you why. Now, first off, let's look at the bright side. This might be the least bad flu season we have had in 50 years. That is what is essentially happening in the Southern Hemisphere right now. Remember, the Southern Hemisphere is just getting over their winter, so they've already had their flu season. And the numbers are crazy low over there. And you can understand why. Obviously, people are wearing masks. People are staying away from one another. Especially if you're sick, you're already quarantining yourself. It's totally taboo to be sick outside in 2020 compared to every year before this. People aren't traveling as much. Because of all of this stuff, you could see. And the flu numbers in the Southern Hemisphere are amazingly low. It's like one of the craziest bright spots in all of this. Looking at Australia, South Africa, and Chile, between those three countries, they recorded just 51 flu cases among 83,000 people tested for a positivity rate of 0.06%. Compare that to 2017, 2018, and 2019, and that we had about 24,000 1,000 out of 178,000 people that tested positive in flu tests, which is a positivity rate of 13.7%. These numbers are astronomically low. This is crazy. It is far and away the least deadly flu season we have had in recorded time in the Southern Hemisphere. So it might be really, really good for us this coming flu season. We might have almost no flu. That would be amazing. I actually wonder what this long-term consequences are. I wonder if all this isolation will mean the flu will actually stop circulating. Who knows? Who knows? But here is the problem. You don't want to catch these motherfuckers at the same time. So back in the early days of this pandemic, when New York was getting hit really, really hard, you still had people who were just going about their normal lives. And that meant that you had people who had the flu. And in fact, in looking at a whole group of people that were in a specific hospital, a researcher checked to see if any of them were co-infected with the flu. Now, keep in mind, this is a subset. These are people who are already going to the hospital. But still, they found three people who were affected with both corona and the flu at the same time. Out of those three, two had to be intubated. It seems like these two diseases can kind of work in concert and really fuck you up. Because if you're already barely breathing with COVID and then you add another 15 or 20% of difficulty breathing with the flu, that might be what puts you over. For a lot of people, it could be. The flu takes a huge toll on your body and dramatically influences your immune system while you have it. So it might be that your body just really can't fight off anything else. Really scary stuff. And that is why, even though this may be the best flu season ever, even though it might be the end of the flu itself, who knows? I am advising you. In fact, I am begging you, go out and get your flu shot right now. Because the stopping of transmission of the flu is going to help us in a lot of ways. Number one, we're going to have less mortality from COVID. Number two, with less people having the flu, there's going to be less people clogging up the hospitals in what might end up being at one point during the next whatever, during the next winter, some part of a COVID peak. That keeps us able to save COVID lives because we don't have beds taken by people with the flu. And lastly, do it for this reason. Think how bad COVID has fucked up this planet, our economy. We're going to be dealing with the economic ramifications of this probably for our lifetime. Think of what it's done to our culture. Think of how many people it's killed. How do you get it back? Fuck up its buddy, the flu. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining me for Science Faction 489, where you learned all about who should get the vaccine first, why the CDC reversed its totally dumb decision, what's going on with the COVID long haulers, and why you need to go get a flu shot right fucking now. Thank you so much for joining me, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 490.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.